Okay, let's get started with this year's Haggadah Shir, Tavshin Ayin Vav. A lot to talk about, as we do each year. We will try to go through the Haggadah, paragraph by paragraph, point by point, focusing as much as we can on the packet in front of you, which is all new except for one thought. One thought is a repeat from 6 years ago. But other than that, somebody would call me out on it. But the rest, hopefully, is our new ideas. But as the year Haggadah could, over and over again, we could involve ourselves in the discussion. And we start off, as we know, the simanim, just to remind everyone what the simanim symbolize, before we get to the first siman of Kadesh. The simanim, we mentioned in the past, one thought, the simanim is the itinerary that we have. If we ever want to make the most of a trip, if we go on vacation and we wake up in the morning, we want to go to a museum and we call up, they're closed on Tuesdays, then we want to make, you got to make reservations beforehand. You want this, you want that. You have to plan out the trip in order to get the most out of it. Our itinerary for the trip called Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, Kadesh, Urchatz, Karpas, Yachatz, we have it all planned out beforehand. We know our first stop is Kadesh, then Urchatz, V'chulu. We mentioned that, number one. We also mentioned in the past, Simanim might mean the way that it's used in the second parak above Metzia. Simanim, I have to give Simanim to identify a lost object. Throughout the year, we're lost until we give ourselves Simanim. We present simanim, and then we can find ourselves. We can find ourselves at the Seder night, when the night that we were nationally born, we recognize and we give ourselves simanim. But in any case, now let's start with the first simon this year, Kadesh. Kadesh, Kiddush, and we start off with a thought from Rabbi Jonathan Sachs's Haggadah, where he discusses what's the symbolism of Kadesh, of Kiddush. Kiddush, as we know, we starts off every Yontif, but we have a special Kiddush at the Seder. Everybody has their own cup. It's the first of the Dalet Kosos. But Kiddush, he writes, takes on a special significance at the Seder, starting everything off. He quotes this from Rav Palm. Kiddush is the recognition that we sanctify time. Mekadesh Yisrael v'hazmanim is the bracha that we say. We sanctify time. This is the reflection that we are free. A slave is not in control of his own time. And it's not a question of quantity. Somebody can work very long hours. During busy season, you could put in 18-hour days. But you know what? He's a free person because he's choosing to put in 15-hour days, 18-hour days, because I'm choosing that profession. I know there are busy seasons and less busy seasons, but I'm a free person because I choose if I want to work certain hours or more hours. A slave is not in control of their time. A slave cannot sanctify his time because it's out of his control. And that's the first national mitzvah that we received, as we know, HaChodesh HaZelachem, the mitzvah that we celebrate, Rosh Chodeshim, the first mitzvah, the first Rashi in Chumash. The Torah should have started off with HaChodesh HaZelachem. So important. Says Rabbi Sachs, that's Kiddush. That's how we start off. A slave works until he or she is allowed to stop. A free person decides when to begin and end. Control over time is the essential difference between slavery and freedom. That's the secret of the difference between a ben chorin or an eved, control of time. And that's how we start off every holiday, but specifically, that's how we start off the Seder, Mekadesh Yisrael v'Hazmanim. Point number one. Point number two, a special thought for this year, and that is, it is Shabbos and Yontif. We will be making Kiddush Mekadesh HaShabbos, the Yisrael v'Hazmanim. Comes up every couple of years. So he also writes on the right side, this is also something very unique, and that is the relationship between Shabbos and Yontif. Shabbos represents creation, Bria. Yontif, any of the Yomim Tovim, don't represent creation, but represent redemption. Represent HaKadosh Baruch Hu involved in our worlds. Not the creation of the world, but the constant involvement in our worlds. Yetzias Mitzrayim, Kabbalah Satorah, Ananei HaKavod. That's the beautiful compliment that we get to have when we have Shabbos and Yontif together at the Seder. Mekadesh HaShabbos v'Yisrael v'Hazmanim. We recognize Hashem as the Creator, Hashem as the Redeemer, Hashem as he writes it beautifully, Shabbat is about the presence of God in nature. The festivals are about the presence of God in history. God of nature, God of history, God of creation, God of redemption. Shabbos is holiness from above to below. Yontif is holiness from below to above. However one wants to say it, but they work together. And this year we have the schus to have them both going in tandem as we start off the Seder with the Kiddush of Mekadesh HaShabbos v'Yisrael v'Hazmanim. That gets us started into Kadesh, and we move on to Urchatz. Urchatz, washing our hands. We do a lot of washing hands in our religion. We're always washing our hands. We wash our hands before we eat. We wash our hands before we daven often. We wash our hands before we do Berchas Kohanim. We wash our hands sometimes at the end of the meal, before we bench. We're always washing our hands in the morning. We're always washing our hands. So we know there are various reasons why we wash our hands before bread, before in the morning, three reasons of the Rishonim. So there are halachic reasons, but on a hashkafic level, taking a step back, the symbolism of washing hands, urchatz, we do it twice in the simanim, urchatz and rachsa. What's the symbol of rechitza? So if you're in the Haggadah, tiv ha-Haggadah, so he quotes that, what does the word netila mean? Netilas yadayim. So most Rishonim say it's from the word natzla. Natzla is the Aramaic for kli, for utensil. So netilas yadayim, we wash our hands with a kli. But he suggests on a hashkafic drush level, litol, notel also means to take, to remove something. I take it from you and it's removed. Netilas yadayim, it's the removal of the hands. What does that mean? I remove my hands? In psukim and in chazal, the hands represent our power. The most famous, kochi va'otzem yadi, asa li esachai lazeh. My power, I did this! My yad symbolizes my strength, my power. Right, what do we call my earnings in Gemara? Maisa yadayim. That's how we say earnings. Yadayim symbolizes my control, my accomplishments. Netilas yadayim. It's as if I remove my hands. I'm not in charge. I mevata myself to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I nullify myself. Before I eat, Hashem, you gave me the food. Before I daven, you're in charge. Before we do so many things, before we do a mitzvah. Because we recognize HaKadosh Baruch Hu is in charge. On this night, when Hashem is the goel, the bottom right, Eilakach, Shadam Margish, Bargashas Ben Chorin, Belel Chag Achirus, when we recognize the freedom, Umistakel Banoa, Kol Mashiach Chinu Bebeso, and I look around and I see the beautiful Kalim, and I see amazing, Kol Agamal Chumrus Vaidurim, all the Chumrus, everything, Magdimim Lo Ha'ir Lo Al Siluk Yadayim. One of the first things I do, I make Kiddush, I remove my hands, so to speak. I mevatel myself. Netila, siluk yadayim, sheyaser miyad es midas hagavus v'hayihirus, v'rak achar kach yuchal lahaschil b'avodes lel ha-seder hakadosh. And maybe you have to do it every couple of hours during the day. Right? All the symbolic nature of washing one's hands, again, doesn't mean that we have to go crazy with it, but just when halacha demands it, we could also think of this idea of being mevatel myself to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That is the netilas yadayim, the Hasaras yadai. Okay. Urchatz. Only one with the vav also, not for now. A couple of famous questions out there. Right, none of the other simanim are connected with the vav. Kadesh rechatz. Not ukarpas, uyachatz, umag. Okay, urchatz is the only one. We've touched on that in past years. But let's move on now. Karpas. Kadesh urchatz karpas. So karpas we have discussed at length. The simple understanding most haggadahs, karpas backwards. Samach Perech, 600,000 that worked extremely hard. Just a little one-liner, because we always say you need the larger thoughts and the one-liners also, depending on where in the Seder one is up to. Rav Yosef Chaim Zonnefeld at the top of the page, from the Haggadah Gedolei Yerushalayim, says many try to find a reference, a hint, to Kriyas Yamsuf at the Seder. Because after all, that was like the you know, yes, it's in Shvi Shal Pesach. It's in a couple of days, but still, this is the beginning of it. V'yaminu b'Hashem Moshe Avdo, we do have. See, he found a reference, he found a hint in the word karpas. He says, maybe you could switch around the letters and it stands for kol sus rechev paro. as we dip into water. We dip into water as if we split the water. We have a reference to Kriyas Yamsuf. Kol Sus Rechef Paro. Kaf, saying you just switch around the letters a little bit. Instead of Yosef Chaim Sonnenfeld, maybe that's a reference to our Karpas. Okay, and then we get to Yachatz, to end the beginning four. Kaddish, Yorchatz, Karpas, Yachatz, before we get to the crux of the evening of Magid. Yachatz, we break the matzah. Halachically, why do we break the matzah? Because we need to create Lechem Oni. In Oni, one of the pshatim that the Gemara gives for Lechem Oni is Ani, a poor man's bread. A poor man doesn't have whole pieces. A poor man has broken pieces. So we break it. And that's why we have Lechem Oni. That's obviously the halachic reason. But there is a lot of significance and so many different levels and layers of interpretations. You have two other ideas in the Haggadah in front of you called the Kol Aryeh. Says the Haggadah Kol Aryeh, second line. V'nira li l'rameiz bazeh. The mitzvah that say below Pesach we got to the bincha shemisaprim b'tias Mitzrayim umorim mispnei abayis shiachakol Hashem yisbarach. We are supposed to inspire everyone at our seder and talk about the godless of Hashem and the amazing things He did. Shekamo shegal Hakadosh Baruch Hu asanu miMitzrayim, just like Hashem took us out of Mitzrayim once. Ken yigaleinu b'galus choshech, He'll take us out again, and we have to keep talking about it. But once we finish, well, we spent 2 hours, we spent so much time. Okay, now we're done. We said it all. We finish. We finish. Hamarbe harayzeh meshubach. So we were marbe. It's 2 o'clock in the morning. So now we can close our agada and say, we said it all, we're done. We always must know. And we always must give off the message that really, we can never finish. Really, we can never finish praising Hashem. We can never finish being Mesaper, be Yetzias Mitzrayim, even if we do it all night. So what do? We break the matzah and we put the larger piece, tzafun, hidden away. As if to say there's so much more that we can't even say. There's so much that we can't get to. We're saying a portion. We're saying a little bit. He doesn't quote it, but the Gemara in Brachas, Amorayim, I think it was Rabbi Hanina, that he was in shul, and there was a chazen in shul, and they went to Davin, went to do Chazaras Hashatz, and all of a sudden he hears, okay, Al-Agadz, Al-Gibra, Vanora, Ha-Azuz, Ha-Amazing, Super, Tremendous, Extravagant, all these new adjectives. And he waits till he's finished, and Rabbi Hanina says, Siyamtinu kul ha-shivchei demarech, did you finish? You got it? Now you really zeroed in on all of the midos of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's impossible. What are you kidding? The Gemara says, the only reason we can say these four is because it's a pasuk in Sefer Dvarim. Hakel Agadah L'Gibra Vanora. That's why we say those four. But you can never finish. Never finish. Rav Soloveitchik says, that's why we end davening on Shabbos with Adon Olam or Yigdal. It's as if we're starting again. We're telling Hashem, you know, really, we have to start again. What, we're finished? Now we can leave shul. Adon Olam, it's as if we have to start again. Okay, just a symbol. A symbol that was there on Shabbos too. That's what we do, but maybe that's why we put away the larger piece. The larger piece, we break it in half, tzafun, that's hidden, to try to give over also, as much as we're talking about, Yosef Mimasha Karanu Kasav Khan. Right? There's a lot more here about HaKadosh Baruch Hu that we can't even express, and we have to try to give that message over. V'hi gadat el abincha, that we can't be magid, everything that we need to be magid. That's one idea for Yachatz. You can say that for Yachatz or Tzafun. It can work for both. Or Masa. The second idea he has is based on a Rashi in Bereishis Perek Yud Daled, where he quotes a Rashi, which Rashi discusses the fight, the war between the four kings and the five kings, where Avram Avinu comes in and saves his nephew. And he writes there, Shenechla Kalaila, the Pasuk says, Vayechalik Aleim Alaila, the night was split in half. Rashi quotes, that's Rashi that we don't pick up on. What do you mean the night was split in half? Rashi says, the Bachatzos HaRisho Nasa Lo Nes, the first half of the night, Avram was able to be victorious in the war. V'chatzio HaSheni, Nishmar Uba L'chatzos Laila Shal Mitzrayim. The second half of the Nes, this Maisa Avo Simon Labanim, it has to do with Yetzias Mitzrayim. The first half of the night was Bishaito, Avraham Avinu winning the war. The second half of the night is setting the stage for the future Geula. The night is split in half, this night. So this is the night we're talking about. I'm not at all if Avraham Avinu fought the war on that night. It was a Pesach night. I don't know. But either way, the power of the victory of his descendants was put into place. So the first half of the night was Avram's own victory. The second half of the night is the victory of Yetzias Mitzrayim. Suggest the here in the Haggadah's Kol Aryeh, the second victory, which set the stage for the future Gula as well, is a greater element than the personal victory of Avraham Avinu. So maybe also we put away the larger piece to be merames to us to the geula that took place in Mitzrayim and the geula ha'asida, the future geula, which was put into place the first time we went out of Mitzrayim. That gave the kalach to Am Yisrael to always have the future redemptions that they would have. And putting all that together, that's a greater than the original geula of Avraham. Okay, so two ideas for Tzafun, why the larger piece is put away. Okay, now we move over now to the main crux of the evening, and that is Magid. Magid, v'higadata lebincha. Says the Nodeb Yehuda, chief rabbi of Prague, in the Tzlach. It's quoted here in the Haggadah Talayoros, but it's the Tzlach in one of his drushes. We have very few mitzvos that are purely speech. Not so many mitzvos that are talui bepeh. Even Sfiras HaOmer is connected to the Karban HaOmer. But this is one of them. Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. Yes, as we talk about on Shabbos, there are props. We have matzah, we have maror. But those are really separate mitzvos. It's a mitzvah of dibur. There's another mitzvah of dibur. And that's Kiddush. Zacharis Yom HaShabbos Lekadsho. On a Daraisa level, all we need to do is to talk about Shabbos. Reb Kiva Eger even says, when I come home and take a Shabbos to my wife, I'm Yotze, Mitzvah Daraisa of Kiddush. Just saying something, Dibur. And the Rambam, we mentioned this on Shabbos also, even compares Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim and Zacharias Yom HaShabbos Lekadsho. Compares those two. Says the Tzlach. And this is what Magid is. Magid is talking. V'gavta lebincha. Says the Tzlach. Beautifully. I'm expanding a little bit on what he says. Kiddush, Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. Those are both about creations. The creation of the world and the creation of the Jewish people. Shabbos, Zecher L'Maaseh Breishis. Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, Zecher Leidas Ha'am. Hashem created the world ba'asara ma'amaros, with 10 utterances. Whatever that means. 9 times in Parshas Bereishis it says Vayomer. Vayomer Hashem Yehi Or. Vayomer. Vayomer. Hashem said something 9 times, plus the word Bereishis counts as one. Chazal say, Asara Ma'amaros, the Mishnah says in Pirkei Avos, Nivra Ha'olam. Hashem spoke to create the worlds. Suggest that Tzlach, maybe as a recognition of the creation done by Hashem through Amira, we also spend our night fulfilling Amira by talking. And that's Kiddush also. We recognize what Hashem did in creation through His Amira, whatever that means, by having our own human Amira. And in that way, we parallel what HaKadosh Baruch Hu did for us. So he says in the middle paragraph, V'tam adaver nira li b'kiddush hayom, u'fisha shabbos u'zecha l'maisa breishis, u'lechiddush ha'olam, leidash ha'olam nivra miyotzer breishis, u'lefisha olam nivra b'ma'amar, l'kach mitzvah shabbos b'ma'amar, v'hu kiddush hayom, asar ma'amaras nivra ha'olam, we connect that to kiddush, and we connect that to Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, which is also about creation, which is also about the Dibur of HaKadosh Baruch. So that's a general title point that we could talk about. We could talk about Magid. We mentioned in the past also, Vigadta Labincha. Again, this is not on the sheet, just In the past, we mentioned Haggadah Bincha. There's so much focus on family at the Seder. There's so much focus on family. The Torah formulates it. There are sons. Haggadah Bincha. More than any other holiday. So one of the Mefarshim explained, because, as we started off, Eved ein lo yachas. Halachically, an Eved is not related to his family. And we want to emphasize our chayrus element. We do so many behaviors at the Seder to emphasize our freedom. We just mentioned, we sanctify time. We just said, focus on family. What else? We're about to get into Halach Ma'anya. Hachnos Azarchim. Who are we inviting? We're not inviting anybody. The door is closed. We should have invited in shul. No, but the act of inviting, Rav Soloveitchik writes in one place, only the Balabais invites, not the butler or the servant. Because it's an act of freedom to be able to invite, to have a focus on family, and to be able to relax. That's a lot of what we do, a lot of what we do this evening. Okay, so now let's get into the actual paragraphs of Magid. And we start off with Halach Ma'anya. We're on page 4. Page 4. Halach Ma'anya, this is our poor man's bread, Tiachalov Anasar Bar de Mitzrayim, that we ate in Mitzrayim, Ashatahacha, Lashon Haba Arad Yisrael. We're here now, but we're looking forward towards the future, next year in Arad Yisrael, Hashata Avdi Lashon Haba B'nei Chorin. And even those of us who have the schus of living here in Eretz Yisrael, we still say this because we don't just mean the physical Eretz Yisrael, we need Eretz Yisrael, Yerushalayim HaBenuya, with the Beis HaMikdash, with all of Am Yisrael, and that's what we're still davening for. So if you look here in the Haggadah, Kamosi Shel Rav, he goes to a question that we've dealt with before, and that is, how can we be so happy right now? We're sitting down, we're having the Seder, we have all the beautiful Kalim on the table, but we're still in Galus. We still have Tsaris, Rachmana Litzlan. There's still people trying to kill us every day. So how can we be so happy? How can we have such simcha? How can we get into the frame of mind to see ourselves, Kilu Hu Yatsami Mitzrayim? It's challenging. The Brisker Rav said it was the hardest mitzvah of the year. To feel as if I went out of Egypt? How do I do that? How do I get such simcha? So various answers given. The one this year we'll focus on is given here. And that is, and why do we focus on it here? Right? We were hoping in the future. Suggest the Sefer Karban Pesach that he quotes here. Ella, Geulat Mitzrayim, Mechazekes Banu Es Hatikva Gam Bagalios Achareha. You think about Mitzrayim? It was impossible to get out of Egypt. Logically, it made no sense. You know how many guards they had? It quotes, there were 20, you needed 24 keys. Imagine, barbed wire, and a moat, and dogs, and a stone wall, and, oh, and imagine! If anybody's been in the old city, so the broad wall, they have a wall from the time of Bais Rishon, right? You know how thick those walls are? All around? It's impossible! And dogs, and moats. Like, there was no, how could you get out of Mitzrayim? If you would have asked anybody living at that time, there was never a servant that got out of Egypt. Impossible. And yet it happened. If we focus on that, and if we think about what happened by Mitzrayim, that will give us the emuna and the koach to really believe that it's going to happen again. And that's how we could have such simcha. Because we could focus on that story, which was so impossible. In all the Midrashim, right? What does the Torah emphasize? Lo yachras kelav lashono. That was the biggest miracle. The dogs didn't bark. The answer is, yeah, you know what kind of dogs these were? These were dogs trained to kill. These were dogs trained to see servants and not let them out of their sight. So if we focus on that, b'yamim ke'elu shel choshech va'afelos ha'galus, focusing on Mitzrayim gives us the hope for the future Geula. We've quoted in the past, related to this, the Smak, Sefer Mitzvahs Katan, one of the Rishonim, in Mitzvah Aleph, the Smak asked the simple question. We know the Gemara in Shabbos, Lamed Aleph, the six questions were going to be asked, Achar Me'ev Esrim, did you set aside time for Torah, were we honest in business? And we understand all of them because they're all mitzvos. There's a mitzvah of Talmud Torah. I'm asked, did I set aside time for Torah? Was I honest in business? I'm not allowed to lie. Midvar Sheker Tirchak. Asakta Beperi Verivya, there's a mitzvah, Puravu. So they all, and the other, Hevanta Davar Mitov Davar. But question number four, Tzipisa Li Yeshua. Did you hope for the salvation? Where does it say in the Torah that I have to hope for the salvation? What if I'm very happy right now? What if I'm learning Torah, I'm doing chesed, I'm fine, I'm great, okay, we don't have a base of Migdash. Okay, I don't hope for it. What am I doing wrong? What's my Avera? I even believe in it. What's my Avera? Says the Smak, it's part of Anochi Hashem Elokecha. That's the source for Tzipisa Li Yeshua. If I believe in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that He created the world and that He took me out of Egypt, then I am chayev to believe that He will also redeem us from every galus in the history of the world. That's part of Anochi Hashem Elokecha. And that's exactly how we start off Magid, according to this thought. If we focus on Mitzrayim, that will give us the optimism to be able to realize HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to redeem us again from every galus v'galus. And then we get to Manishtana. Manishtana, this is a small but extremely powerful thought. Manishtana. It's from the Berachayim, Rav Bitterman. His farm are becoming very popular these days. Says the Berachayim, if you look in the Mishnah, the source for Manishtana, we know different parts of the Haggadah were added on, page 5. Were added on over the different centuries. Manishtana, besides the Torah, Manishtana is one of the oldest parts of the Haggadah. It's from the Mishnah. Manishtana alayla zeh. So if you look in the Mishnah there, Psachim Kufta Zayin, he quotes it, Mazgu lo kosheni, the second cup is poured, V'kan haben shoel, and here the son asks. The Rambam adds in two other words, V'omer hakore manishtana alayla zeh. But here it says, V'kan haben shoel, here the son asks. Quotes the Berachayim, Upirshu tzadikim. He says, great tzadikim say that these three words have unbelievable power in them. Shenir maz bedvarim akdoshim. These three words, when we get up to Manishtana, what does Chazal tell us? Here the son asks, Banim atem l'Hashem Elokeichem. We are sons of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. At the moment we're about to ask, or at the moment that our children are about to ask the Manishtana, is a time that we could think about things that we want to ask our Father, that we want to ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Kan HaBen Shoel! Here's where the son asks. We are all sons. Banim Atem. Here's the moment. We have to make sure we're ready for that moment of Kan HaBen Shoel. Yachol Kol Ish Yisrael HaNikrim Banim LaMakom Levakish Bakashosav Me Aviv Shebashamayim. We could ask Hashem for things at this moment. Maybe we could say this thought and just take a moment, 30 seconds of silence at the Seder. Everybody should think about what they want to ask from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, individually and nationally. And if somebody thinks that the children might not have anything in mind, give them something to think about. Many people, but Tzaris. U'b'yoser efshel lifol sh'yifkadu kol chasuke banem ezer shal kayama. Daven for children at this time. Sarech lios chacham aroes hanolad. Shalo yafsid his damnus gedolazu. Not to lose this potential of this moment. Kan haben shoel. Here's where we got to capitalize. We got to use this moment to ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu for whatever we want from Him. Okay. So what's the answer? Avadim Ayinu. Avadim Ayinu L'Par B'Mitzrayim. Again, we can spend a lot more on each one of these, but we have to move on. Page 6. Avadim Ayinu. So what do we say in Avadim Ayinu? If Hashem wouldn't have taken us out of Mitzrayim, we would still be there. And this is one of those questions that is in every Haggadah. We would still be there. After thousands of years, we'd still be in Egypt? That's impossible. There's never a nation that's lasted for thousands of years. We wouldn't still be there. So there's an answer given by a number of Haggadahs. I gave it to you from Rabbi Emanuel Bernstein's Haggadah, put out last year. He writes there, "Be medayik." There are two words that are used that are not the same. At the beginning of the paragraph, we say, Avadim hayinu l'parah b'mitzrayim. We were Avadim. And what do we say in the continuation? If Hashem wouldn't have taken us out, Anu v'neinu, we would still be Mishubadim l'paro. We don't say we would still be Avadim l'paro. We say we would still be Mishubadim l'paro. What's the difference? Avadim means servants. Mishubadim. Mishubadim, like in Gemara, it's used. I give somebody property. No, I can't. Other people can come take it because it's Mishubad. It's leaned. Mishubad means beholden, connected to, leaned. We wouldn't still be in Egypt, but we would still be beholden to the values and beliefs that they had in Egypt. If Hashem wouldn't have taken us out and given us a new value system of the Aseres HaDibros, of everything that He wants us to believe in, so we would still be have the same values that other nations have, and that would be just as terrible as being physically still there. See in the bottom right. But by that stage, we would forever be beholden to the outlook and way of life that we witnessed in Egypt. Their values would be permanently absorbed into our ideological makeup and indelibly embedded in our national consciousness. Only because HaKadosh Baruch Hu took us out, we're different. We answer to a higher authority. We talk differently, we act differently, and we try to sanctify our lives, and that's what we thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for. We did it past years. Also, the difference between Avadim Hayinu and Avdei Paro Hayinu. But look back to previous year for that. But this is Avadim Hayinu for this year. Okay. Next paragraph. Avadim Hayinu. What do we right after that? We end Hareza Meshubach. So then we give an example of Hareza Meshubach. Maisa Barabbi Eliezer. We have the story of the five great rabbis. The five great Tanaim that were sitting in Bnei Brak with Rabbi Akiva. And they were staying up all night to talk about Yetzias Mitzrayim. We mentioned a number of years ago the Aruch HaShulchan in his Agada, which we'll get to later with Hashem also. Why Dafka did they come to Rabbi Akiva? Right, out of all they were all had great rabbis. Why did they have come to Rabbi Akiva? So he writes, which is said by many, Rabbi Akiva was the man of optimism. When everybody else is crying at the end of Maseches Makas, he's laughing. Right, on the deathbed of his Rebbe, Maseches Sanhedrin, everybody else is crying and he's laughing. He's smiling. He was the ultimate optimist. And there are many other approaches, other rayas to Rabbi Akiva's attitude. So it was 150 years after the Churban HaBayis. You know, maybe even less. It was even less. It was early. Not 150 years. It was a couple of decades. So some of them probably remembered eating Korban Pesach. Like, this is a Seder. Like the Gemara says in Yuma, there were certain elders that remembered what the first Beis HaMikdash looked like when they built the second Beis HaMikdash. Everybody is celebrating. They're crying. You call this a Beis HaMikdash. The Kodesh Kodashim is empty. There's nothing in it. What are you celebrating about? They were celebrating because at least we have something. But so the Dafka came to Rabbi Akiva. How can we celebrate? How can we have a Seder? Rabbi Akiva he was the optimism. He always gave chizuk. That's why Dafka Rabbi Akiva is the one. Well, look at me. Look, I didn't know Aleph Beis until I was 40. And look what it's hope for everybody. After losing thousands of Talmidim, what did he do? He started over again with another five. He was always able to be positive and look forward. The end of his life, he's getting killed. Oh, Baruch Hashem, finally able to do this mitzvah of Ahavta Hashem Elokecha, Afilu Notzel L'Nafshecha. Really throughout Shas. That's when they came to Rabbi Akiva. Answer of Mordechai Eliyahu in his Agada on the top of the page, Avim Shel Yisrael. If it's so important to talk about Yetzias Mitzrayim, and these rabbis stayed up all night, why didn't Chazal or the Torah mandate that we stay up all night? There's a minhag to stay up on Shavuos. But here, we stay up and we go to sleep. We should stay up all night and daven Masikin like we do on Shavuos. Why did they mandate it? Says Rav Mordechai Eliyahu, no, because you're missing the point. The point is to not need to stay up all night, but want to stay up all night. The point is to recognize and to feel that I want, these rabbis didn't have to stay up all night, but they couldn't stop. That's the point of the mitzvah. Kol ha-marbe hariz ha-mishubach. Doesn't say you have to be marbe. You should be marbe. You should want to be marbe. It should be overflowing. Like many other points of the Seder that we have mentioned. It says, Iker mitzvah l'saper, l'hagia mitokach l'islavus kazu, to such a hislavus, to such a fire. Sha'adam kazu, yargish ba'atzmo, she'en lo shum tzorech lishon. Sleep, who needs sleep? Not every night. Right, the Chafetz Chaim used to turn off the lights of the Beis Medrash. Let's see what your shachris looks like. You want to stay up all night. But you have to, but at least once a year, we're up late because look at what Kodesh Baruch Hu did for us. He gives us everything. He gives us our lives. And therefore, dafka, it was not mandated because it should be something that hopefully we will feel and we will want to do. Right at the end of the Seder, Shira Shirim, the love story between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Am Yisrael. That's the minhag after the Seder, because that's what we should feel that we would want to do after an entire night of talking about our, you know, it's like a mashal. It's like, let's say you have people who have been married for a while, and all of a sudden they're sitting on the couch and they're talking about the courtship. I remember that. And certain feelings come up again. You're like, oh yeah, remember that third date? Oh, yeah. You go through and it's like this feeling of like, and by the end of that conversation, there's like this deeper love. Because it's like you're remembering when it all started. That's the Seder. The Seder is that discussion. Remember that? And then Shira Shirim at the end. That's what it's supposed to be. Right? That's what it's supposed to be. Okay. Weiter. Amar Abelazar ben Azarias. This is the one. Repeat. I think last year I also repeated a different one. Rav Pinkus on Rav Blazer ben Azariah. Harani kiven shivim shana. I am like 70 years. And we know the story in Brachas, Chav Zayin, Chav Ches. What does this mean? That's already just a great Dvar Torah if nobody's ever said it. Just say over the story what the Gemara is talking about. Rabbi Gamliel was removed as the Nasi. And they gave Rabbi Blazer ben Azariah the job after much debate. He was only 18 years old. His wife said, what are you doing? You know, he says, I'm going to become the Rosh Hashiva. So he asked his wife. She said, maybe they're going to fire you tomorrow. So he says, oh, better to be a glass cup for one day than an earthenware cup all my life. Okay, at least one day I'll be the Rosh Hashiva. So she says, but you don't have a white beard. Miraculously, he grew a white beard overnight. And that's why, even though he was 18, he says, Hare ani kiven shivim shana. Right, that's what we say in the Haggadah, the end of that story. And Rav Pinkus here, if you remember, discusses what's the symbolism of when one gets older, the hair turns white. Kodesh Baruch Hu made it that we have darker hair when we're younger, and then as we get older, the hair turns white. It's the symbolic nature. Everything on our bodies has a purpose, and that's something that we can learn from. Right? The Gemara in Ksubis. Why do we have earlobes? So if we hear Lashon Hara, we can fold them over, so we don't hear the Lashon Hara. Same thing, why our fingers are shaped like pegs. The Gemara says, why are they fat on the bottom? They get skinnier. So you can put them into your ear if you hear something terrible. Right? You can put them in. That's right. Right? Imagine if every finger was like as thick as a thumb. You can't fit into that, right? Kodesh Baruch Hu could have made human beings like that. Every part of our anatomy has a reason. So he asked Rav Pinkus. So why do we turn white? Says Rav Pinkus. Shachar v'lavan heim atzvaim ha-yichidim she'enam tzvaim ba'atzmusam. Black and white are symbolic. Symbolic. B'tzeva shachar tzmunim ba'atzam kol atzvaim. Black. Imagine you have a child who has 15 different crayons, and they color all the crayons in the same spot, turns black. Why? Because the black is a combination of everything. All the colors, it ends up being black, because you made a big mush. That's black. It's everything together. White, he says, is the opposite. And you know, hafuch. It's like lack of anything. It's pure. It's just see-through. When we're younger, there are so many things that are pulling us. Even good things. We're being pulled by our family responsibilities, education, job. There are so many things that are pulling us. Even maybe some negative things also, certain taivas, whatever it is. But as we get older, and that's black, but as we get older, things become clearer. And the white symbolizes as we get closer to 120, you know, there's more clarity. Kodesh Baruch Hu even gives us a little hint. He turns it white. So we have, there's only one thing that's pulling us, and that's Din V'Cheshbon. the ability to be able to earn schar, to be able to be close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Says that's the white. Why do some people get white very young? I don't know. But either way, that's the symbol of the white and the black. And that's Hari Ani Kevin Shivim Shana. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has us in mind, and he's letting us know that, you know, as time goes on, there should be only one thing, one color pulling us, and that is to be close to him. Okay. Baruch HaMakom Baruch Hu, Baruch Shanasa and Torah Yisrael, page 8. There's a thought that we mentioned from Rav Schwab a number of years ago. It's very similarly formulated by Rav Soloveitchik here in Hari Kadam on page number 8 and 9. Why dafka do we use the name HaMakom here? Hashem has many names. Elokai, Elokeinu, Shakai, many names of Hashem. Dafka HaMakom, Baruch HaMakom, Baruch Hu. Why is that the name of Hashem used in the Seder at this moment? Says Rav Soloveitchik, HaMakom always reflects Shechina. Gilui Shechina. Which is exactly the opposite of what sometimes it looks like. The Kol's Mach, Yish Inyan, Shal Gilui Shechina, Yoser Mikafi Amida Vazman, HaMakom is used. When there is Shechina, when it doesn't look like there is Shechina. That's when HaMakom is used. One of the two most famous HaMakom places, in the Shiva house, HaMakom in Achim Eschem, and in Achenu. Achenu Chabes Yisrael, Ha'onam Hatzor HaShivya, HaMakom Yirachim Aleim. What do those two have in common? Hester Panim. It's the postures of those situations. Somebody's Bitsaris, somebody just lost a relative. They feel distance from God. And Dafka there, we say the name HaMakom, which symbolizes Hashem is everywhere. HaMakom, the place. Hashem is the place. What does that mean? He fills. He creates. He's everywhere. Like the Kotzker says, where is God? Wherever you let him come in. Right? That's the Kodesh Baruch Hu is everywhere. When somebody is not feeling it, we mention HaMakom as if to say Hashem is with you even here. Even in the place that one feels distance from Hashem, B'shas Sara, Shekav Yachol Uzman Sol Siluk Shechina, Afilo Hachi Shechinasa Yisbar Shochenes B'Sochenu, Maskirim Ez HaKadosh Baruch Hu B'Torah HaMakom, L'Horoshu Mekomo Shel Olam. And that's Nicham Aveilim. And that's why here, when we are about to get into the four sons, and we talk about sons that are close to religion, and we also talk about sons that are distant from religion. We talk about all types of Jews. Some might not feel so connected. We introduce that with HaMakom. Hashem is connected to every Jew. HaMakom, Hashem fills the space. And here, he even quotes a couple of other places where you see this idea. It goes beautifully from Vayetze, turning over the page. Vayakov Avinu, Vayifka Bamakom Vayolen Sham. That's the source for Myriv. Vayifka Bamakom. Yaakov Davin Myriv, Makom, Makomo Shalolam. Yaakov is the Av of nighttime, the Av of Galus. Dafka Makom is used there. Baruch Kvod Hashem Mimkomo. Who said that? Hashem should be blessed Mimkomo. Left side, Yecheskel. The only Navi who had Nevuah in Chutz La'aretz, in Galus, in darkness. He said, Mimkomo, because Makom symbolizes HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Even in the darkest of times, we still use that HaMakom. And that's how we introduce Baruch HaMakom and the four sons. And now we get to the four sons. This year we'll have two thoughts. One on the Rasha, and one on the Einu Yodea Lish'ol. So first on the Rasha, this is a B'nai Yisaschar, page number 10, the Dinever. Says the B'nai Yisaschar, we know that every one of the questions that the sons ask, each son is really a pasuk in Chumash. We bring together different psukim all over the Torah that talk about Yitzias Mitzrayim. Oh, and Chazal had the understanding that, oh, this is the Chacham one, and this is the Tam one, and this... We read the psukim, we don't know. Right? It just seems like four questions. But Chazal knew which one. So the Rasha question is in Parshas Bo. Maha Avodah Azos Lachem. Says the B'nai Yisaschar, that's the question that is asked, if you look in the Torah, it's introduced as, he quotes it where it's underlined, V'haya ki yomru aleichem b'neichem o avodah azos lochem. Rashi on that pasuk says, he quotes it, B'sora tova nizbasru li Yisrael she'yilahem banim u'b'nei banim. Klal Yisrael were very excited and happy when they heard this news, that they're going to have children, and they're going to ask the question, Ma'avod azos lachem. That's Rashi on Chumash. Besorah tova. Esa b'nei asaschar. Question one. They didn't think they would have kids? They didn't think, they thought that the Jewish people would end with them? They're so excited they're going to have children. They've been having children all along. It was their choice to stop for a while. Amram's choice. Then they started again. So number one, what were they? They didn't think they would have children. Number two, which child are they so excited about here? The Russia. Dafka, Mavod, Azaz, Lachem. They're celebrating. They're going to have Rishayim as children. That's a simcha? It's just a Rashi and Chumash. The question of the Russia, Rashi quotes there, that Bnei Yisrael are going to be celebrating that they have children who are Rishayim. So what exactly is going on here? So says the Bnei Yisrael, that really Chazal are bothered by the introductory word, v'haya, ki yomru aleichem b'neichem. What is v'haya? Chazal tell us, v'haya is always lashon simcha. V'yehi is lashon tsa'ar. V'yehi b'me'ach hashverosh. V'haya lashon simcha. We spoke in the past, the Vilna Gaon, why that is. Not for now. V'yehi and v'haya. But, says the Bnei Yisrael, that's where Chazal got it from. V'haya, what's the simcha? Says the Bnei Yisrael, and this is a classic. Yes, it's a Rasha. But, what is the Torah saying? The Rasha is still asking questions. The Rashas at the Seder are asking questions. Meaning, there's a nitzotz of Kedusha in every Jew. And that's the Besorah Tova. No matter the child, and no matter what we see from the child, maybe we won't see it in this generation. Maybe the nitzotz is only going to spark up in the next generation. Or in 20 years from now. But there's a nitzotz of Kedusha in every Jew, and that's the Besorah Tova, even Ben Rasha, says the Bnei Yisrael, and that gives us hope that we know that every Jew has something inside of him, and he's at the table. And there's a lot more to say about that. Obviously, the Gemara Nida, learning Kol Torah Kula, and then forgetting it, Shem creates that Pintel Yid in utero. Doesn't even matter what happens afterwards. So that's the Rasha. And then another thought on the Eini Yodei Lishol. On page 11, this is from the Chashukei Chemed Haggadah, Rav Zilberstein, who asks a simple question, which probably should be asked, I think, by more Haggadahs, but he asks it. Sheni Yelisho, at Psachlo. Why do we use Lashon Nekeva? At Psachlo. Ata Psachlo. What do you mean, at Psachlo? Right, why do we use the feminine Lashon? So he says, Doreinu hu dor shel tshuva. Our generation is the generation of tshuva. Halavavos psuchim rotzim ladas lekabel. People out there are thirsty. Thirsty for Torah. Avo yesh vehincha nitka lomrot hakol ba'atzimut mochletes. But sometimes a heart is closed up. Besiruf totali lishmo olazin. Sometimes people are not interested at all. Anti. You got to be soft. And the only way to get through is benachas nishmoyim. Softly getting through. Screaming at people is not the way it's going to get through. It's got to be soft. And he tells a story. He was once giving a drasha, maybe on the way out, I don't know, he met a chayal. He met a soldier in the army, Atur Kanfeit Snicha. He was a paratrooper. He had his parachute thing on his madim, on his uniform. And he comes face to face with him, and he sees this guy is so far from anything. So hardened, anti. How am I going to connect to this? So, Rav Zilberstein says, I went over to him, and I said, I am so jealous of you. The guy looks at me. He's never had anybody, he writes, with a hat and a long coat say something like that to him. He says, I am so jealous of you. He says, excuse me? Why is that? So as Zerbstein says, he says, at that moment already, the heart started opening. He says, the second I said that, you see, the heart started opening. He says, you ever heard of a great rabbi? There was a great rabbi named Rabbeinu Yonah. You ever hear of him? No? Oh, let me explain something to you. He wrote a great sefer named Shari Tshuva. And he wrote there that, he writes this in the middle of the page, Misa mechaper sakol avonos. Misa is mechaper. Misa brings atonement for all sins. But he says not only Misa, not only does death bring atonement, but facing life and death situations also bring atonement. Because if somebody's scared, somebody's like, you know, when somebody's like scared, so they're like, oh my God! Right? Like, oh my God, right? Because you think about God at that moment. So you jump out of airplanes. You must think about life and death a lot. You get a lot of kapara. You get a lot of atonement. Wow, I am jealous of you. All of a sudden the guy's like, wow, when's your next year? At psachlo. It's got to be soft. Lashon Nekeva. Somebody who's Eino Yodea Lishol, which most people out there are Eino Yodea Lishol. They have no idea. Even if they think they have an idea, they have no idea. That's the attitude that we have to have in our generation. At psachlo. Okay. Yachol Meirosh Chodesh. So we might have thought that Tzibur Yetzias Mitzrayim starts off from Rosh Chodesh, Shamalomer Bayamahu, etc. And famous question, what's the Havamina that I would have thought that I should start talking about Yetzias Mitzrayim from Rosh Chodesh? Rosh Chodesh. I don't think about sitting in a sukkah before Yantif. Rosh Chodesh, oh, I might have thought, says the Shem HaTov in his Haggadah. You're right, it doesn't apply to any other holiday except for this one. We might have thought Rosh Chodesh was different. Why? Because something unbelievable happened on Rosh Chodesh Nisan. What was that? Hashem changed the world. There used to be one new year, Tishrei. Hashem created the world. All of a sudden, Hashem creates a new year with a new calendar. A new calendar? Affecting everything? A new, different level of existence for the Jewish people? Starting with HaChodesh Hazeh Lachem Rosh Chodashim Rishonu Lachem Lachachi Hashana? Something major happened on Rosh Chodesh Nisan. It wasn't Pesach yet, but it was something major. That's the Hava Mina. That's why I might have thought that at least I could start talking about Yetzias Mitzrayim from that point. Look in the middle. Aval Barosh Chodesh Nisan. Kshamar Kodesh Baruch Hu. Chodesh Hazeh Lachem. Nishapech Hakol. Everything flipped. Uvenei Yisrael Chayim V'Kayamim Rakadei Mitzias Yetzias Mitzrayim. And Bnei Yisrael live, we count towards Yetzias Mitzrayim. And we go by the moon, by months. V'chalaleim Hanagas Olam U'malam Enateva. We all of a sudden don't only have a calendar relating to creation, we have a calendar relating to use the words we used before, redemption. HaKadosh Baruch Hu as Mashgiach, not just as Bore. That's a major change in the history of the world. So that's why we would have thought. Maybe Sefer also. As great an answer you give to this question, it always has to be, it's only a Havamina. But you have to explain the Havamina. Kamash Malan, we say no. Still, Pesach is Pesach. When he actually took us out is when we talk about Sefer Yetzias Mitzrayim. Yochel Meirosh Chodesh. Moving along. Mitchila Ovdei Avodah Zarah Hayu Avoseinu. Originally, our forefathers worshipped Avodah Zarah. In the continuation of that paragraph of Mitchila, we quote a pasuk from Sefer Yehoshua. I got to take this staple out. Anyway, okay, and we quote a pasuk that Esav went to Seir. Esav went to Seir. I think I quoted something like this a couple of years ago. Esav went to Seir, and the question is, what do we care about what happened to Esav in the Haggadah? What do you have to quote that pasuk for? That Esav went to Seir. Just we're talking about our nation. We're not talking about Esav. So Rabbi Sachs, Rabbi Yonasan Sachs, in his Agada Chazon Liyamim, quotes a Pirush Mishnayos. The Rambam in the Pirush Mishnayos gives us the secret. Came up in the Daf a couple of weeks ago as well. The Rambam, based on the Mishnah, it's Pirush Mishnayos in the Nedarim. The Mishnah tells us, if I make a neder that I'm not allowed to get benefit from Zera Yaakov, I'm not allowed to get benefit from Zera Yaakov, Zera Avraham, the seed of Abraham, it only applies to Jews. I'm only usher Jews. Who is Zera Avraham? Jews. Ask the Rambam. What about Yitzchak? What about Esav? They're also Zera Avraham. Right? So why does Zera Avraham only include Jews? Says the Rambam in the Pirush Mishnayos. Because look back at the Bris Ben Abasarim. The Bris Ben Abasarim defines who the Jewish people will be. What does it say there? There's going to be a nation that's going to have terrible times. They're going to be in a strange land. And then they're going to come out and they're going to be my nation. What does that mean? If you don't have terrible times, if you weren't in a strange land suffering, that means you're not my people. Because that's what is part of the definition of Am Yisrael, the Kur HaBarzel. You know why we say, and Esav went straight to Seir and lived happily ever after? That shows that he's not Zera Avraham. And tonight is the night that we are discussing our uniqueness, our Bechira element, Am HaNivchar, Am Segula. And that's why we mention what happened to Esav in this regard as well. Okay, we're just going to skip one, just to save time on 13. That's on Baruch Shomer. Rabbi Yaakov has a beautiful thought on Baruch Shomer. Let's go to page 14. V'hisha Amda. V'hisha Amda l'avoseinu v'lanu. This is what has stood up for our forefathers and us. Shelo echad bilvad. One of the most important statements, hashkafically, that we say at the Seder. What's the V'hi? What's the V'hi? Many pshatim we mentioned in the past. Is it Rosh Tevis, six Mishnayos, Chamisha Chumash Torah, Seres Dibros, Hashem, other pshatim, Meshachachma has a pshat. But what's the pashas? What's the simple interpretation? V'hi is referring back to the previous paragraph in the Agada. The previous paragraph said, Baruch Shomer Haftachasal Yisrael, Hashem keeps his word, he fulfills the promise that he said he's going to take us through history. And that promise, V'hi, that Haftacha, is what has kept us going throughout the generations. V'hi, that's the simple interpretation. The promise that he made to our forefathers is what has kept us going and alive and existing throughout the generations. Like Mark Twain said, right, the greatest raya that there is a God are the Jews. Right, V'hi sha'am del avasein avalanu. Says the Gra. That promise then was not really made to us. It was made to our forefathers. Says the Gra, quoted here in the Lekach Tov Haggadah, but that's okay. Because there are different loves that Hashem has that we benefit from both of them. What does that mean, different loves? Nusach Ashkenaz says in the morning, Ava Rabba. And at night, Ahavas Olam. What's the difference between Ahava Rabba and Ahavas Olam? Ahava Rabba is like a lot. Rabba, great, a lot, deep. Ahavas Olam, eternal, forever. The time issue. Says the Gra, Ahava Rabba means us. Hashem loves us. That's daytime. It's clear. It's nice. That's Ahava Rabba, us, deep. Avas Olam, that's night. We say that at night, symbolizing darkness and pain, but he still is connected to us through the promise to our forefathers. Avas Olam. And that's the Vihisha Amda. Vihi, the promise, even if it's not for us, even if we're not deserving, hopefully we are deserving, but Hashem has a double love for us. He has Ava Rabba, and he has Avas Olam. He has Zekei Levi Anveyu, and Elokei Aviv Aram Amenu. Right, he has both. Right, the Ava Rabba and the Ahavas Olam. So that's the Gra on V'hisha Amda. Tsei Ulamad. Turning the page, 15. Teolamad, so what do we get into now? We get into the psukim. Get into the crux, which sometimes people say, you know what, let's zoom up to Dayenu, but we shouldn't, right? We should focus on these psukim too, right? This is, what's the mitzvah? The mitzvah is we quote a few psukim from Kisavo, Mikra Bikurim, and then we darshan it, quote Midrashim. Another question that is popularly asked, aren't there enough psukim in Shmos to darshan? We have to quote Mikra Bikurim, the end of the Torah, the whole Yetzias Mitzrayim in two psukim? That's what we got to quote? How about we quote Va'era, or Bo? If I was writing the Haggadah, that's what I would quote. So why don't we do that? So there are various answers given to that question. One of them is, well, we don't want to focus too much on Moshe Rabbeinu. It's God's night. And Va'era and Bo is all about Moshe also. Okay, one answer given. Rav Sternbach, page 15, he writes in a tshuva, different answer. And he quotes another gra. We want to emphasize, again, we're giving a lot of messages to our families and to ourselves this night. We mentioned before, there's a lot more that we're not saying. Here's another message that we're giving to our family. Torah Shebal Peh is infinite. We dafka quote only two psukim of Torah Shebechsav, so we could quote a lot. Every word we darshan. Anus api adibur, right? Anyenu ze halachatz. Every word we darshan, because we're showing the infinite elements of the Torah, of Torah Shebal Peh. And he quotes the Gra. The Gra says, imagine you have a map. You're looking at a map. Every dot on the map could be thousands of people. It's a dot. It's just a dot. If you have a big, huge map, New York is like a dot. Right? Millions of people. That dot is millions. That's Torah. Every letter, every word is infinite. That's why we dafka pick two psukim to say the whole story. So it could be a little Torah Shebichsav, so then we could expand and have so much Torah Shebal Peh. To give that message also to our Seder participants. Okay, and then with one of the psukim that we darshan, page 16, Vayotzienu Hashem Mitzrayim. Hashem took us out of Mitzrayim. Lo al yedei malach, lo al yedei saraf. Hashem took us out of Mitzrayim, not with an angel or a shliach, only HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself. Shenemar, right, as the Pasuk says, it's a little cut off, V'yavarti be'eretz Mitzrayim, Hashem says, I pass through Mitzrayim and perform Makas Bechoros. Asks from Matisyo Solomon, here in the Matnas Chaim Agadah, what are we trying to prove in the paragraph? That Hashem did Yetzias Mitzrayim himself. Right? Lo yedei malach, lo yedei saraf. Hashem took us out himself. What pasuk do we quote to prove that? Makas Bechoros. Rabbi Beretz Mitzrayim. How is that a proof? The Haggadah says, we're going to prove that Hashem did Yetzias Mitzrayim himself. Shenemar, he did Makas Bechoros himself. Maybe he did Makas Bechoros himself. Maybe he didn't do the rest of the process himself. Maybe he did that through a shliach. What is Makas Bechoros? We didn't go out yet. We were still in Egypt. Why is a pasuk about Makas Bechoros relevant to teach me about Yetzias Mitzrayim? See, he writes a Yesod Gadol. This is very important. He quotes from the Briska Rav, and it makes a lot of sense. Says the Briska, he doesn't mean in my Askama, but I'm just, says the Briska Rav, a question that we're all bothered by, right? Why, we mentioned this on Shabbos too, why does only Makas Bechoros get the word Maka by it? Dan for the Akin Marav. Right, but Rabbi Yehuda took it out. Ba'achav. Right, it's Beis, Bechoros. But why do we... What? Says the Briska Rav, Makas Bechoros played a double role. A, it was the 10th Makkah. B, it was the beginning of Yetzias Mitzrayim. That moment was the beginning of the process. In the larger sense, you know, way before. But it wasn't just the 10th Makkah. This was the nail that Paro came running, v'chulu, and sent us out. So it's different. We call it Maka to emphasize its independence. It really wears two hats. It wears the hat of being Maka number 10, and it wears the hat of being the beginning. Like, when do we say, when did they start going out? When? In the morning? No, they started at midnight. They started at Makas Bechoros. That was the beginning of the Yetzias Mitzrayim. And that's why the Haggadah quotes a pasuk about Makas Bechoros to prove Yetzias Mitzrayim. Because they're the same thing. Makas Bechoros is the beginning of Yetzias Mitzrayim. And he quotes a Rambam and to prove that too, or a Gemara, so we're not going to read that now. But that's the pshat that he gives in this idea. Okay. Makos. Makos we are up to. The Makah of Choshech. Let's pick one. Page 17. Makah of Choshech. This is from the Haggadah Otzros HaTorah. He says, Ezra V'Yashiv. Every Makah we know showed the Egyptians that Hashem differentiated between the Jews and them. Dam. They saw they were drinking water and I'm drinking blood. They didn't have any frogs, and I have frogs. Everything was about what they could see. All of a sudden, Choshech, what was the purpose? They couldn't see. We had light, and we were able to see afterwards. But was there a purpose for Choshech? At the time, they, the Egyptians, couldn't see anything. So what was it teaching them at the moment? Asked Serval Yashif. So he quotes a Medrash. The Medrash says, when Moshe Rabbeinu and Aaron came to Paro, let our people go. Paro says, what does your God look like? Well, we have no idea. How old is he? We don't really know. What does he wear? How old? How many cities has he conquered? What is this? How long has he been king for? Well, if I don't know him and you've never seen him, he doesn't exist. Lo yadati es Hashem. Paro believed that if he doesn't see it, it doesn't exist. So right before the end, says Rabbi Yashiv, Makkah number 9, we know Choshech wasn't just darkness. It was a positive darkness. The Yamish Choshech. And he quotes sources that the Egyptians were, you know why they weren't moving? They were in shock because they saw all of the mazikin, all of the dangerous forces that are prevalent, that are floating around at night. All of the spiritual ghosts or whatever you want to call them, they were like, couldn't move because they were like in shock. What was that? What did that show them? You think because you can't see it, it doesn't exist? I'll show you something that exists that you can't see. And that's Choshech. And that was Makkah number 9 to teach him. There are many things in life that you can't see that exist, right? The Gemara in Brachos compares our neshama with Hashem, kavayachol, in 5 different ways. Right, one of them is roim ve'enam nirim. Right, they could see, but they can't be seen. Right, our neshama is like Hashem, 5 different ways. That's one of them. Roim ve'enam nirim. So that's choshech. Okay, moving right along. At the end of that paragraph, we have the only time Moshe Rabbeinu is mentioned in the Haggadah. A thought that we mentioned in the past, but I gave it to you again from Rabbi Laos Haggadah in source 18 on top. The uniqueness of Moshe Rabbeinu, to mention one sentence about him. He did have a major role in the process. As we know, what do we know about Moshe Rabbeinu? The first stories about Moshe Rabbeinu, Parsha Shmos, there are 3 stories about Moshe Rabbeinu in Parsha Shmos. 3 stories. Moshe Rabbeinu goes out of the palace. He sees an Egyptian hitting a Jew. He kills the Egyptian. Then what happens? 2 Jews fighting. And what does he do? He breaks up the fight. And they say, who are you? He runs off to Midian. And what does he do? He breaks up the fight between the shepherds and the daughters of Yisro. What's the common denominator? Why are these 3 stories the basis of Moshe Rabbeinu's life that we know? Say many mefarshim. I gave it to you from Rabbi Lau here in front of you. Moshe Rabbeinu could not stand idly by when there was an injustice being done. No, you would think he ran away from Egypt because he was a fugitive. They wanted to kill him. So he runs to Midian. You would think he would try to keep a low profile. You would think that he would just kind of blend in, maybe grow a beard, longer beard, maybe there's that. You would think, what did he do? The first thing he does is he makes a ruckus. He goes to the well. What was the well? The well was the most popular place. Everybody in Midian knew about Moshe after that. Everybody. That's what you do when you're a fugitive. You make a whole big ruckus because Moshe couldn't not. He was a man of principle. He stood up for what he believed in. All three stories, Jew, non-Jew. Doesn't matter who the people were. He stood up, like we mentioned in the past about the name Moshe in Amaya Mishisiyu. He was pulled from the water. He was the anti-water. Water represented conformity. Moshe was pulled from the water. That's Moshe. Okay, Dayenu. Not Dayenu in the Vartz, but Dayenu. We are up to Dayenu. Rav Hashem, we have four more. Four more. Dayenu, the line of Ilu he'achilanu es haman v'lo nasalanu es ha'shabbos. Dayenu, middle of the page, 18. If Hashem would have given us the man and not given us Shabbos, Dayenu. So, he explains a deeper connection between the man and Shabbos. Not just that, the man fell double on Erev Shabbos, but a little deeper. He quotes a Medrash. The Medrash says that B'schus Avram Avinu, giving food to the angels, we were zochet to get the man. That's the Medrash. B'schus Avram Avinu, giving food to the angels, we were zochet to get the man. Again, what's the connection between those two events? Says of Avram Shor, Halekach V'alibuv. Avram Avinu took physical food, and he didn't know it, but he made it spiritual, because it was eaten by angels. The man is spiritual food that was made physical, so we could eat it. An exact mirror image. B'schus Avram Avinu, taking physical food and making it spiritual, again, though he wasn't conscious of it, so too HaKadosh Baruch Hu took spiritual food and made it physical so that we'd be able to partake of it. Says Rabbi Avram Shor, and Shabbos is one step even higher. Because Shabbos, we take physical food and make it spiritual like Avram did, but we eat it. Because we act spiritually on Shabbos with our Neshama Yisera. So you have Avram and the Man and Shabbos. Physical to spiritual to physical to spiritual, and then physical to spiritual, but to physical people. Which brings it all together. Shabbos is bringing together what Avram did and what the Man did. That's the Man and Shabbos. Every line of Dayenu could be analyzed, but we won't do that for right now. Maror, Pesach Matzah Maror, Gamliel Hayomer. Three things you have to say at the Seder. So, again, famous question asked the Nesivus in the Maisa Nisim in his Agada. Yipale Bekan, the order, Pesach Matzah Maror, Maror should be first. Maror's first, and then Matzah and Pesach. Why is Maror third? Explains the Nesivus. There were two elements, there were two things that happened the night of the Seder. Number one, we were no longer Avdei Paro. Number two, we became Avdei Hashem. What's the Iker? What are we really celebrating? That we gained freedom from Paro, or that we became servants to Hashem? If the order was Maror, Matzah, Pesach, it wouldn't be so clear what we're celebrating. We know what we're celebrating. Pesach's first. Karban Pesach. We became Avdei Hashem. Oh yes, Maror, we left Mitzrayim too. But that's not the ikar of what we're celebrating. Ein lecha ben choren ela mi she'yasok b'Torah. We celebrate becoming Avdei Hashem, not as much where we were. We celebrate that by recognizing where we were. But it's really what we turned into, right? That's why, right, we don't say Hallel on Purim, one of the three reasons, because we were still Avdei Achashverosh, right? We celebrate becoming Avdei Hashem. Okay, so then we have Pesach Matzah Maror, then we eat. One thought on Korech. Korech, the sandwich, Rabbi Gamliel, or Hillel, right? Not Gamliel, Hillel, right? Hillel, because Korech, Pesach, maybe Pesach, different Gersos. Matzah Maror, right, one shouldn't be mafsik from the beginning of Matzah till after Korech, because according to some Tanoim, that's the mitzvah. Korech, what's the message of Korech, of putting it all together? We have Matzah, and we have Maror. Then we have to eat another Kezayis Matzah and another Kezayis Maror. Right, one has to be wary of that, halachically. Korech requires another kezayis of matzah and another kezayis of maror. So what's the message? So Rabbi Lamb, in his Agada, quotes a classic Rabbi Lamb line. Why is there a sandwich? Because life's about balance. Life's about taking various extremes and blending them together into a unit, a balanced unit. As Rabbi Lamb says, any one value, when taken to an extreme, can be corrupted. We need a dialectic of virtues. We need freedom and responsibility, peace and self-defense, love and morality, patience and toughness, discipline and independent thinking. Matzah and maror. Matzah with its geula elements, maror with its bitterness, to teach us that life's about balance also. The Rambam, the Shvil HaZahav. Rabbi Lamb likes to quote the Medrash in Brachos, V'hinei tov ma'od. Hashem su'a, v'hinei what is maves? So he quotes one of the Hasidic Rebbes who says, any ma'odius, varies, that means extremes. Anything ma'od, says zehamaves. He says, everything in a balance. The Rambam says there are two exceptions, kas and gaiva. But besides that, right, everything has to be in a balance. And that's the message of Korech, putting everything together into a unified spiritual personality. And finally, the last, we have the seit, we have the meal, shvoch hamascha. Remember, remember the shvoch hamascha, the thought from, it's been a couple of years. Shvoch hamascha, if you remember the line, we have HaKadosh Baruch Hu, maybe B'schus are saying this part, Hashem, shall listen to our tefillas. Shvoch HaMaschal, Agayim, Mashallah, Yida'ucha, pour out your wrath on all of the other nations, Asher B'shimcha lo karo, that have not called your name, etc., and remember it by heart. Ki achal as Yaakov, as Naveo Ishamu. They have eaten Yaakov, right? These nations that haven't called out your name, because they've eaten Yaakov, right? What we say when we open the door. So in Rav Warman's Oros HaPesach, he quotes, if you notice, the language switches to Lashon Yachid. Shvoch HaMaschal, Agayim Asher Lo Yida'ucha, V'Abamlach HaZashem B'Shimcha Lo Kara'u, Ki Achal Es Yaakov. Achal Es Yaakov, Ki Achlu Es Yaakov. We're Yaakov, the nations have eaten us. It should be Ki Achlu, not Ki Achal. So he quotes from Rav Meir Shapiro. Meir Shapiro, Lublin Rav, I said this over last Shabbos when I was in Lublin. Says Rav Meir Shapiro, he says, there are two types of achdus. He says that based on a Gemara, which we won't get into now. Two types of achdus. He says, the Rishayo Navi says that in the future when Mashiach comes, all the animals are going to get along with each other. The guards, the Avim, Keves, it's going to be unbelievable. That happened once before already. That happened on the Teva. All the animals got along. What are we talking about in the future? Prophecy, amazing. It happened once before. What's the big deal? Says Rav Meir Shapiro, no. There are two types of achdus. There's one type of achdus, mitoch tsara. Mitoch, you have a common enemy. You have a common danger. The animals wanted to survive. It's called ein brera. It's called, you have no choice, and you have to come together because you don't have a choice. When they're at tsaras, everybody comes together. Not because they love each other, but because you don't want to survive. That was on the Teva. In the future, v'gar ze'evim keves, no. That's a different type of achdus. That's an achdus based on common values, shared dreams, an achdus of Torah, of Das, of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's a totally different type of achdus. And that's what Yeshayahu HaNavi was talking about. V'yichan sham Yisrael neged ahar. That was also achdus. But the Goyim also have different types of achdus. Ki achal es Yaakov. What does that mean? The nations of the world could fight with each other about everything. When it comes to hating the Jews, come together. Ki achal es Yaakov. The UN, they could fight about, they could have different votes about everything. Come to anti-Israel resolutions, boom, all of a sudden, it's 5,000-3. Nothing else is so lopsided. Ki achal es Yaakov. Because it's singular. That's the type of achdus that they have. But we have achdus based on Torah. Based on being Avdei Hashem, Vayichan Sham Yisrael Neged Ahar, and that's what we daven for at HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Let all those nations who come ba'achdus against us be able to be wiped off, and there should only be peace in the world. Okay, we'll end with a thought on Asara Miyodeya. Echad Miyodeya, you're allowed to say this during the meal, because people probably will not be interested so much in hearing Divrei Torah at the time of Asara Miyodeya. Echad Miyodeya. This is from the Aruch HaShulchan. Why do we have to mention Asara Dibra, the Asara Sadibros? We already mentioned Chamishi Chumshei Torah. Right, we can't think of any other 10. That's why we have to do Asara Sadibros. It could be. Could be why I'm saying, but is there any significance that we add in Asara Sadibros, even having known already, what's that Asara Sadibros adding to the recognition of Chamishi Chumshei Torah? Says the Aruch HaShulchan. So we have Chamishi Chumshei Torah, that's true. But you know what Asara Sadibros are adding? What's in Asara Sadibros? Lo Tirtzach, don't kill. Lo Tinaf, adultery. You need God to tell us that. So, for certain periods of time, yes. But most cultures in history believe that murder is wrong. So what does HaKadosh Baruch Hu have to tell us that for? Because we shouldn't think that any mitzvah that we do is because we thought of it. And it's because it makes sense to us. Everything we do comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Chukim and the Mishpatim. And as the Bar Tanur writes in the beginning of Pirkei Avos, even the Derech Eretz elements and the Midos, Hakol Nitzna Misinai. Aseret HaDibros shows us and is Megale and emphasizes what's included in Chamishi Chumshei Torah. Even laws like Sosir Sach Lo Sinaf, we end the Seder recognizing that everything is in the purview of the Torah. Halacha Torah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is looking at every element of our lives, that we should serve Him through everything that we do. Not just the specifically spiritual items, but throughout our life, throughout our day, whatever we're doing, we could be serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's what he says. Shemei asara dibraya anu lemeidim shahakol me'echad alokeinu shebashmayim v'aretz shebachol dover v'inyin. Afilu mashmir adam l'chaveiro. Hakol hu me'adon hakol shu echad yachidim yuchad. Etc. So that's how we end. And then we end off after that with the midos of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and the Shvatim all coming together. But that is the how we end with Asara Miyodeya. Of course, Chad Gadya is how we end, which we've mentioned in the past, the message of Chad Gadya, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is in charge. We end the Seder, we often think that, you know, it's the dog and the cat and it's the cow, it's right. We end off, it's really a tefillah. The Asa HaKadosh Baruch Hu v'shach al-malach ha-malas. When we say that, we have to think, V'az HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we are davening for the day that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Megala himself, Befar Hesya, everybody recognizes, Yakir V'yeh Dekol Yoshvei Sevel, Hashem, we should be Zochah, to be Nocham, in Aslachim, in Apsachim, in Yerushalayim. We'll still have the Haggadah Shir, Be'ez Hashem. But we should just have it, we'll have some more Varts on Karban Pesach, Be'ez Hashem. Okay, we'll stop here.